This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey everyone, Adam Ritz here. Jay Baker on the phone with me. We're going to do some public affairs radio, if that's okay with you. Hey Jay, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. I'm glad I could join you telephonically today. It seems like we're very busy in the summer months, and we're in the thick of it heat-wise and summer-wise. So thanks for giving me the ability to join you on the Adam Ritz Show.
Well, we're hoping for some cooler temperatures in the Wichita, Kansas area this weekend for the Love Pickle Stop Cancer Pickleball Tournament benefiting St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Now, pickleball has been, named the fastest growing sport among adults in America. You've heard that, or am I making that up?
No, I think that that's probably accurate. It kind of went from what on earth is this to everybody talking about it. And it's been a sport that is more accommodating in general for all ages and abilities to sort of jump in and start playing pickleball.
And what you just said is also true about how accommodating this sport is to become a charity beneficial event. So we've done stories on other pickleball tournaments in communities across the country that have raised monies for their foundations and charity work. So, you know, if you are sitting around with your board of directors trying to figure out what to do for your next charity event, maybe a pickleball tournament is right for you. You might want to get on Google and check out some of the other pickleball tournaments around the country, how they've run, a 36-team tournament, how much money was raised, what the facilities are like, how easy or difficult they are to get to have the equipment. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why this is such a great charity foundation event is because it's all you need is a court, a couple of paddles, and a ball.
And some people that are willing to jump in and raise some money for charity. I mean, you raise a great point. If you say to yourself, I really want to raise money for this or that, I feel strongly about it, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. And pickleball certainly is going to be in a lot of people's wheelhouse.
I've been involved with a lot of golf tournaments and golf scrambles for charity. And I remember once I was involved with one and some of the people on the committee were like, you know, we just don't want to have another golf tournament. It seems like, you know, every summer there's just so many golf tournaments. And I guess there is a competition factor when you're looking at your audience and who you want to come play in your golf tournament. It's going to be tough to get a team of four together to play in your golf tournament when they just played one the weekend before and they're signed up to play another one the weekend after. So if you're having those discussions, like a golf tournament would be great, but gosh, there's just so many golf charity scrambles in our area. What could we do that's maybe a little bit different? Maybe check into pickleball. Yeah, the St. Jude Pickleball Tournament in Wichita, Kansas. It's going to raise a lot of money and a lot of awareness for pediatric cancer. All proceeds from that event will benefit the life-saving mission of St. Jude. And we've done a lot of reporting on St. Jude and how great they are finding cures and saving children. Because of the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, they share every breakthrough they make, every child saved. St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use that knowledge to help thousands more children, including those kids right there in their local community in Wichita. So we wish them the best of luck this weekend. Hopefully temperatures will be on your side. And even if not, then there's nothing like sweating in the summer.
Sweating it, yeah, absolutely. But yes, we are looking for a break in the temperatures as I think the figure I saw officially, it affected over 100 million Americans as they had heat warnings and different watches and warnings that were up all the way from middle Illinois all the way to the East Coast. So it's been a hot summer, absolutely. This is kind of interesting when you break it down. We've kind of heard the story. My parents were the first ones. My dad, Mr. Accounting, he said, you know, many people don't realize this, but until you analyze what the middle class is, it gives you sort of an overview of, can you live the lifestyle that you live? We've always talked about on this show about moderation is important, everything from debt to how you approach your life. Well, a company called Smart Asset took a real scientific look at the phrase living comfortably. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's defined as spending about half of your income on essentials like food and rent, 20% towards savings and paying off debt, and then the other 30% for whatever you want. So think about whatever. It doesn't matter if your pie is pot pie sized or the biggest pie you can get at Marie Callender's. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to slice that pie up. And that's a pretty reasonable thing. You know, if you think, hey, it'd be great to spend 30% for whatever I want because everything else is in line. Well, the median wage in the United States right now is right about $62,000. But they looked around the country and put this living comfortably phrase to the test. The least expensive area in the United States is West Virginia. But you need to be making $81,000 to live comfortably in West Virginia.
Which is kind of a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. And that's why I brought this up. Until you sort of see it in print, I had heard about this survey as I was driving down the road, and I thought, God, I've got to look that up. And it completely slipped my mind. But when I was doing research for today's show, it popped back up again. And I think it's kind of interesting and sobering. It does say that you probably need to bring some of your living expenses in line. Mm-hmm. But it also is, I think, a real snapshot of we need to be careful. We live in the greatest country on the planet, but it's kind of tough sometimes to be middle class Joe, tougher than we think, you know?
Yeah. And I didn't mean to be flippant about $81,000 a year being kind of a lot of money. I know that is
a lot of money to a lot of people.
I think my point was that, you know, when you preface that by saying West Virginia is the most affordable place to live, I just would have guessed that that means you can live fairly comfortably or middle class if you make, you know, $50,000 a year.
You would think, yeah.
81, I mean, you're nearing towards a six-figure salary, and all I've ever heard my whole life is, you know, your goal is you want to make six figures.
Sure.
Well, you're close to that, and it's only going to get you a reasonably comfortable life in the most cost-effective state of West Virginia. So what does that mean if you want to live in Southern California? You've got to make 400 grand a year just to be able to run your car on fumes.
Yeah, I actually have a relative who is relocating back to the Midwest. They had lived in California with their spouse for the last 5 years, loved the weather, absolutely said it was great, loved the California lifestyle, but they took a very hard look at what they were getting bang for the buck. And not only was it expensive, but they kind of were not getting ahead. So they made the choice of relocating, and they're not the only ones.
Yeah, you know, you can do some quick research and find a place that has similar attributes to the area you like or want to live in, and you can certainly find a place more affordable. So you can have, you know, 20% of your income go to debt and savings, and the fun number here is 30% of your income.
30%.
To go to anything you want.
Anything you want.
You want to put a grass skirt on and wear a chicken hat and go bowling? That counts as that 30%.
If you want to waste that going bowling, by golly, you should. Absolutely. And, you know, or buy an expensive gift for Adam and Jay. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just suggesting.
These are just suggestions.
You can do whatever you want. Absolutely. The most expensive state in the United States is Hawaii. It would take you about $124,000 annually to meet the goal of living comfortably. So that kind of gives you some criteria, least to most.
That is more shocking of a number than 81,000 in West Virginia. If you're telling me you need 81,000 in West Virginia and that Hawaii is the most expensive place, I would have just said you got to triple that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think it's so interesting to see the range of numbers in the United States because, yes, there are several factors. But if you think about it, Hawaii, it's an island. It's a beautiful place. Everybody would love to live there.
Right.
I'm going to say some of their weather probably makes California's weather seem like Antarctica, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think that it's one of those things. It's just something to sort of bear in mind as you sort of build your life and think about where your money goes. I thought these were interesting figures.
Yeah, and they've helped me out because I can't wait to get home later today and lay down my income and see if I'm first of all, putting 20% towards savings and debt, and then maybe most importantly, make sure I've got 30% of it going to the grass skirt bowling tournament.
And if you can do a grass skirt bowling tournament and raise money, I mean, you are now a public affairs maven.
You know what? And I might even be super responsible and say 30% should go to savings, and then I'll only give 20% to the fund.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you do wear the grass skirt, remember, don't get the clashing bowling shoes. You got to get the ones that sort of accentuate the grass.
Yes. Perfect.
Hey, we do know it's a little toasty out there. We know the sun is shining. A little bit of sun in moderation is good. But if you're going to be outside for much longer than maybe 10 minutes, they do highly recommend that you wear sunscreen. A top New York dermatologist says it's all about smart choices, not just slathering on whatever sunscreen is handy. Now, whether you go chemical or mineral, the key ingredients to look for are, and it's been a long time since I've taken chemistry, so I'll try to get the names as right as I can, avobenzone and oxybenzone. Avobenzone and oxybenzone, those are the key ingredients to look for in your sunscreen. And it's important that you get one or the other if you're looking for really good UV protection. Now, maybe you're kind of fortunate. You have a little bit darker skin, or you're out on a cloudy day. Don't let that fool you. Everyone needs SPF 30 or higher, reapplied every 2 hours or sooner if you're sweating or swimming.
Every 2 hours, yeah. Especially when you're in the water, you need to reapply. You said something that really jumps out at me. Chemical versus mineral sunscreen. And this is a term, mineral sunscreen, that I had not heard, honest to God, Jay, until last week.
So it's
one of those things like, you know, like a car you've never heard of. Your best friend buys a certain kind of car you've never heard of. The next day you see him everywhere. So I've never heard of mineral sunscreen. Last week I hear about it. Now you bring it up. So do you know what mineral sunscreen is versus the chemical sunscreen?
I am not totally aware of the difference.
I do believe if you are a parent and you're looking into, you know, obviously keeping your children safe this summer from the sun, it's certainly worth the research to do for yourself to find out the difference between mineral and chemical. I've had some skin reaction lately to some sunscreen aerosol, you know, the spray can
right.
type. And Melissa brought up that I might need to use mineral sunscreen. So I do, just based on my own experience in the last week, the mineral sunscreen, I believe, would be safer. Now, I will say this. I've looked it up because I'm going to get some delivered to my front porch by my favorite company that starts with A. The mineral sunscreen is more expensive. So, the safer, better stuff costs more. I might have to challenge myself to have a better answer for our listeners, the difference between chemical and mineral sunscreen. I'm going to do that for our next show, Jay, not only for our listeners and the purpose of the show, but for my own benefit, because I need to find out what sunscreen would be best for my skin so I don't have this little miniature rash that I got last weekend from kicking on that aerosol spray.
No, these are good things to know. I am glad that you are using sunscreen. I think it's absolutely necessary if you're going to be out. I think the cutoff I've always heard, if you're going to be out longer than 10 minutes, you got to be thinking in terms of sunscreen. By the way, toss that old, old, old sunscreen that's been in the back of your closet or in that drawer, because expired or even homemade sunscreens just won't cut it. So you absolutely want to look for those two active ingredients. You do want to go SPF 30 or higher. And now Adam is officially tasked with finding out about mineral sunscreen, because that is a thing.
And I'm going to hopefully make it easy on myself, Jay, here. I'm going to invite our listeners, if you know the difference between mineral and chemical sunscreen, and you want to tell me, please email me when you get home, turn the car off, get on your phone, email me, adam@adamritz.com is my email if you want to enlighten me on mineral sunscreen. Because you know, Jay, as soon as we say something that we don't know, there's somebody in their car screaming at their car stereo, giving us the answer that we can't hear them tell us.
Yeah, no, I'm with you all the way. But it's really important. And especially as Adam said, if you are dealing with your kids and stuff, because kids can get burned pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. And here's a little sunscreen tip I learned the hard way. When you're putting sunscreen on, and you, whether it's lotion or spray, you put it on, you know, your torso, your chest, your neck, your arms, your legs, you're rubbing it in. Occasionally, I'll forget to rub it on the back of my hand. Because you're rubbing it, you use your right hand and you're slathering it on your forearm and your bicep and your shoulder. And you feel like, okay, I've got my left arm covered now. But you never went down over the top of the back of your hand. And if you're out at a pool or on a boat for 6 hours from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. without any sun protection on the back of your hand, the next day you've got bright red hands. They are burnt to a crisp, and you'll never forget to put sunscreen on the back of your hand ever again.
Yeah,
I can speak
I'm
from experience,
you.
Jay. I've done this.
Yeah, you don't want to burn yourself, and you do want to protect yourself from the damaging UV rays of the sun. You know, I kind of have a special place in my heart for Metallica. Metallica is a band that became very successful nationally, internationally. And they said, you know, we want to be able to give part of the money that we've made, give it away to help the greater good. And they created that All Within My Hands Foundation. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before.
Yes.
They've had several key fundraisers and recipients of their goodness. Well, they partnered recently with the American Red Cross to create a couple of different blood drives. And they received a special dispensation from the American Red Cross because they've received over 2,000 blood donations to date so far this year.
You just love hearing stories about bad boy rockers that give back to the community. And, you know, think about the first time you heard Metallica, whatever decade that was ago, if they said, you know, they're going to get a special award for all the hard work they've done to help raise blood for the American Red Cross. You'd be like, now that's even cooler.
Yeah, they are going to be doing organized blood drives at select concerts across the nation. So if you have not yet seen the Metallica blood drive in your community, you may see one soon. And we've always said that in the summer months, you know, it's almost crazy to say it out loud, but the need for blood goes up because there are more accidents in the summertime.
Now, it doesn't count if you get bloody at a Metallica show. You need to actually go to a blood drive and have health professionals swab your arm with alcohol, cleansing alcohol, not Metallica type alcohol. So you can't, you know, you can't get into the mosh pit at a Metallica show, go home bloody and think you've helped.
Yes, we've had some people from the Red Cross tell us you don't want to give blood spontaneously. It needs to be a thought out gesture. Can you imagine? Well, somebody hit me in the nose.
I got my nose broken at a Metallica show. That counts, right? I helped.
My goodness. TSA is reminding travelers that Costco cards won't fly at airport security. This is actually a real story. I was going to go past it, but it's actually a real story. And once again, thanks to the internet, we've always said the internet can help, but sometimes it can hurt. Apparently, there was a fairly prevalent internet rumor that you could go through airport security with your Costco card.
In place of your real ID. I mean, we did so many stories on having to get your real ID by a certain date to get through security at the airport. And the takeaway here is, well, I didn't have time to get my real ID, but my Costco card will work.
Yeah. TSA made it clear that your warehouse club card is in a valid form of ID for domestic flights. The myth apparently resurfaced thanks to a food blog and a few hopeful Reddit posts. I'm sorry. I don't want to pick on Reddit, but they are their own worst enemy at times. I find them to be about 60% helpful, and the other 40%, you're like, what did you suggest to others, to go through TSA with a Costco card?
I don't even think you can get on a Greyhound bus with a Costco card. You need proper identification. The losers in this story are Sam's Club and BJ's Warehouse, because they're not getting any publicity out of this.
No. TSA reminds travelers that real ID or a passport are still the gold standard. So, yeah, I think in many states now the final deadline has hit and passed, and you really do have to have that real ID or a passport to get on domestic flights.
Pretty soon, you're going to need a passport to get into Costco. Have you been there lately? I mean, you used to just flash your card and somebody standing there would say, yeah, whatever, come on in. Now it's digital. You can't get in unless your app or your card scans with a barcode on a kiosk at the front of the store. So, yeah, you're going to need a passport to get into Costco very soon.
Well, Costco has become extremely popular, and part of the reason now that they've gone that digital route is that some of the suppliers were not able to keep up with people sort of bum rushing the Costco line, buying an item like, let's say, you know, some type of gaming device, video game platform, hurrying up and purchasing that and dashing off. And those people would enjoy the savings without having to pay the fee at Costco, but it was at the peril of those that actually were going to Costco to buy said gaming device, because they were Costco members, and members, you know, they expect a little something extra for being a member.
Well, this is inspiring me to go to Costco later this evening. I think it is date night. That's what Melissa and I call it when we go to Costco, because it's like going to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. There's so much to look at. So date night tonight. Thank you, Jay.
Will you be at the food court? Because I have heard that the food court is must see entertainment.
There's some great items at the food court. I have always wanted to like eat dinner there on date night. We usually bypass it because it's so crowded. I mean, you've got people with $500 worth of items in their shopping cart who, after checkout, wheel their goods and treasures over the food court so they can get a $1.50 hot dog. And after they just spent $400 on food. So
hey,
it's just basically
I'm all about that.
It's a parking lot of shopping carts while people have one slice of pizza or they do have some pretty good frozen yogurt too, I'll say.
See, there you go. Here's something that may help since you are talking about date night. There is a new study out that says that couples who cuddle at bedtime are less stressed in their life. This may be, you know, like, duh, but they actually interviewed a bunch of couples and found that couples that cuddle at bedtime feel more secure in their relationship and experience less emotional stress.
I will go along with that. I'm with you that that's kind of a duh study. I think it's the first sign of closeness. If you're cuddling, you're actually physically close, and that can only help your relationship and your stress levels. We do want to marry this story to our recent heat wave, though. Because if it's hot upstairs and you go to cuddle, don't be surprised if you get an elbow in the chest. Get off me. It's too hot.
Yeah, it's hot enough now that I think that even the family pet gets a dirty look. Don't get next to me. It's too hot.
Too hot. We're not cuddling until fall.
Well, you know, everybody greatly depends on the Adam Rich Show to not only find out new trends and lifestyles and health, but also to find out about some trends that are occurring. We've heard mention that sitting is the new smoking, which they're referring to, that sitting for long periods of time, whether you work at home or at the office, sometimes you kind of can't avoid it. The sitting is sort of the default mechanism that many of us have to resort to, but there's a side effect to all this sitting, Adam. It's called office chair butt.
Yeah, I'm experiencing it right now as you speak.
Yeah, you could be getting at least a minor case of it. If you have to sit all day, office chair butt turns out being it is as you sit on your bottom for hours at a time can actually flatten your once rounded behind. It can actually flatten out your butt. So office chair butt is a thing.
Wasn't that your nickname at your last office job?
You know, when they say sitting is the new smoking, I got really good at sitting. I said, I got to be good at something.
Here comes Jay. You know, he's the office chair butt.
He knows how to sit. He sits like a champion.
So you're saying that every 45 minutes, just stand up.
Yeah, it's kind of a good idea to just stand up. In fact, I did notice something very interesting. A very well-known company that makes watches that you can pair to your smartphone, they actually have a feature on there that detects how often you just do something as simple as stand up, because we kind of forget at work, you know, just how you know, you get busy on a task or you've got to complete something.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you say to yourself, man, I've been sitting in this chair for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, I've
so been. Even the simple act of getting up every even 30 to 40 minutes is very helpful.
I was just going to say, I've been sitting in this chair, Jay, talking to you for 30 minutes now. So I'm going to stop talking. Thank our listeners for hanging with us. Advise them to go to our website if they'd like to listen to the show again or in any of our recent shows in podcast form, adamritzshow.com. And I'm going to stand up right now so I don't get office chair butt.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.